One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
The punches. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. I'm your old friend Mike Houlihan. So happy to have you with us tonight. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, personal injury attorney, the Honorable Jim McGing, Fox's Pizza, and Tullamore Dew. And what a night we got tonight. We're every Saturday night, WSBC, 1240 AM from 7 to 8 PM, and podcast globally at hibernianradio.org. Now, a little bit of levity. We had John Healy scheduled to do the show tonight, and his mom died. Patricia Ellen Healy will be doing her obit later in the show. God rest her soul. But we were lucky. We were lucky to get a pinch hitter here at the last minute. The one and only James Duke Lynch, a.k.a. Alamo. Alamo, welcome back.
Hey,
to the
nice
show.
To be here, buddy.
Oh, so great to see you again.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, man. So for those of you who don't know, he has a storied history as a Vietnam veteran, 39 years on the Chicago Police Department, 15 years as
the mayor's bodyguard.
Mayor's bodyguard. And then a plethora of other crazy things he's done in his past and is still doing.
Yeah, just fell off the step.
He did. He made a grand entrance tonight. He'll be suing the Cork and Kerry later.
I'll be owning the Cork and Kerry.
He's going to talk to Jim McGing about representing him on that. Anyway, so glad to have you here, pal.
Nice to be here.
Now, you brought some mementos tonight.
I brought some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of the... One of the things we've been doing the show, and I've explained this before, is we honor Irish first responders, our cops, firefighters, paramedics, because we feel they are the modern-day equivalent of our Irish mythological warriors. But this summer, because the crap hit the fan in June, and we said we're just going to go all police up until maybe the end of this month, until Halloween anyway, because it's just terrible what the police are going through and the no respect for the police. And so we said we're going to get the best cops in Chicago on this show, and here they are, and here's with them. We're with one of them tonight. So that's, you got a take on what's going on? And
well, I'm glad it's not me.
Yeah.
I'd be in jail for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be in jail for sure. Yeah. I got shot.
Oh, yeah.
Robbing the liquor store
at
55th and Halstead. And we didn't have vests then. This was in 75 or 6. And I was working by, we worked one-man cars then. And the call came over, robbery in progress at the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was, to say liquor store in Englewood was, which one?
I mean, exactly.
There was a lot of them.
Yeah.
So this was the one on the corner. So the one guy ran out, I shot him.
Yeah.
And shot him.
As he was coming out the door.
He was coming out.
Yeah.
He was armed.
Yeah.
You know, I shot him and then I went over to see if he was dead. And the second guy came out of nowhere
and shot me
in the stomach.
Yeah. And you almost died.
Almost died. I got the last rites 3 times in the hospital.
Yeah. And you had a good Irish doctor.
Dr. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Right off the boat from Ireland.
Yeah.
Saved my life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's gone on to the Innisfree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. But he was a good guy. He came in my...
God bless him.
I lost 38 pounds
in
the hospital because, you know, I was there for 3 months. And after I started to feel a little better, the nurses were starting to look pretty good. So I thought, well, maybe it's time to go. Yeah. But McCarthy came into my room smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah, Dr. McCarthy.
Dr. McCarthy. God bless him. He weighed about 350 pounds. I'm surprised his arms were long enough to reach for the surgery, but he was a great guy. You know how doctors don't talk to you much?
Yeah, and I like doctors.
He must have liked me because he came in. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, just so in case nobody knows, when you were in fifth grade, first of all, you loved John Wayne.
Oh, the Duke.
And the movie The Alamo was playing. It was at the Jeffrey Theater?
At the Jeffrey Theater.
And you went like
500. Every day for was there for a month.
And you had to repeat fifth grade because of it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways you became known as Alamo Lynch.
Yeah, that's when I became Alamo.
Okay.
Well, you know, the Alamo was a great story because I was a John Wayne fan before the Alamo because I was 10. Mm-hmm. My dad took me down to the Palace Theater.
To see the movie?
For my birthday.
Yeah.
And then when he found out that it was like $5 each to
you
get in.
You told me this. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, well, let's go to Garrett's and get some popcorn. I said, nah, I kind of threw a tantrum. And I said, no, you promised me. And so he said, okay. But boy, to see the Alamo on that
big
screen. Oh, my God. It was like being there. And I said,
and the Duke directed that film.
Yeah, and produced it, too.
Wow.
Put $2 million of his own money into that
Holy cow.
Built the sets. The sets were real.
And you also went to Duke's funeral.
And I went to Duke's funeral. That was...
Met James Arness.
James Arness. Jimmy Stewart. His kids were there. Duke's kids were there.
This is in a private bar.
Yeah, it was at a bar. Well... Yeah,
After the funeral.
Yeah. He became a Catholic on his deathbed.
Did he really?
So the Cardinal of Panama, I guess, was his friend.
Yeah.
So he gave him gave him the last rites, and he died a Catholic.
Oh, God bless.
Because his wives were all Catholic.
Yeah.
And he wanted his kids to be Catholic.
He had a thing for Maureen O'Hara too.
I don't know. You know what? I've read her book. I've read many books on the Duke. Everybody always says, I wonder if they were more than friends.
Intimate, yes.
And I met Maureen O'Hara twice.
Yeah. Did she know your nickname was Duke?
Yeah. She signed my John Wayne book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Duke. Because she was doing Only the Lonely here with John Candy.
Oh, the film. Yeah.
And then I met her.
She was great in that.
Oh, she was great.
That's a good movie.
And Anthony Quinn was... He was such a great guy.
Yeah.
Anthony Quinn, big guy, too. I didn't realize. You know, they look so big on the screen.
Yeah.
But I worked the movies for 15 years, and I met a lot of them. Paul Newman.
You worked special events?
Yeah,
I worked
the movies for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
John Candy was the... Mel Gibson was the best guy.
Yeah.
Very Catholic then. I don't know what happened to him. He must have fallen off the wagon.
What are you talking about? He's making a new movie called The Resurrection.
Right.
Yeah. But he made The Passion of the Christ. Yeah.
But he was signing pictures for...
Who, Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every day I would ask him to sign some more.
You were working on the set.
And he'd say, Duke, how many kids do you have? Because I told him they were for my kids, you know.
And they were selling them.
He said, Duke, how many kids do you have? So I told him that joke.
What's that?
You know, after Braveheart, why did the Scotch wear kilts? Does Zipper scare the sheep? Luckily, he laughed, or I'd have been out. But what a great guy he was.
Uh-huh.
But John Candy was, he was so lovable. He was like a big bear.
Now, let me rein you in a little bit. You were telling me a story about working at a cemetery.
Yeah.
Overnight as like a...
Oh, I was detailed.
What cemetery?
Oakwood Cemetery.
Oakwoods, that's right, because you were telling me you were there the other day.
Yeah, okay. And I grew up in South Shore, and it was at 71st and... Cottage,
mm-hmm.
Oakwood Cemetery. Mm-hmm. We used to go there when I was a kid because that's how I got interested in the Civil War because
the Confederate soldiers,
Confederate prisoners were buried there.
Yeah, yeah.
From Camp Douglas.
Yeah.
Which nobody knows about, but anyway, it was at 35th and Lakeshore Drive. Well, anyway, so Big Jim Colosimo, who was a gangster,
mobster,
in 1920, Al Capone killed him.
Yeah.
And he was buried in. Because he was divorced, they wouldn't bury him in Mount Carmel.
Right.
So they had to pick a secular cemetery.
Yeah.
And I knew that word secular because I went to college for a year.
Okay.
Everybody thinks because you're a policeman, you're dumb. I know some words. Well, anyway, so it was the anniversary of when he got killed. And supposedly he was buried in...
Big Jim Colosimo.
Big Jim. And... He was supposedly buried with 245s and all his jewelry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So somebody called up and said they were going to break into the mausoleum and steal his guns and his jewelry.
Yeah.
So I was on midnights and 22. Morgan Park out here.
Yeah.
And they said there's only one guy that'll go, Duke. Because nobody wanted to spend the night in the cemetery,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. By himself.
Yeah, by himself. Yeah. Well, I had 12 friends with me. I got a 12-pack on the way there. So 11:30, I'm driving over to Oakwood Cemetery.
Yeah.
I stop and get a 12-pack.
So you're reporting at midnight. That's
yeah. Caretaker met me at the... They had everything set up. Yeah. Caretaker met me at the gate,
yeah,
let me in.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell me where the mausoleum was.
Yeah.
So I'm driving around in the dark at midnight, and I just happened to... Oakwood's is a big cemetery.
Yeah.
And I just happened to come across it. So I sat... I had my car. I didn't have a squad car.
Oh,
so
good.
I had my car.
Yeah.
With a 12-pack.
Yeah.
And I drank, and after about 2 or 3 hours, I was feeling kind of good, so I thought I'd walk around a
little
bit.
Take a walk,
you know, tripped over a few graves. Yeah. Not as bad as I fell here, though. Yeah. But it was fun. It was fun. Yeah.
You made it through the night.
The hardest part was driving home. I was so drunk. 7:30 in the morning, the sun came up, and I'm going, oh, God, what am I doing?
And by the way, folks, he hasn't had a drink in what?
39 years.
39 years.
Yeah.
God bless you.
May 25th. The day before the Duke's birthday. I mean, I would have, I can't believe I quit on the day before Duke's birthday.
And what year was that?
78.
Okay. Yeah.
It was 39 years.
Okay.
May 25th, it was 39 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I had two slips.
What's that?
Well,
oh,
I went down for the Vietnam parade.
Yeah.
And it was 150 degrees that day. Somebody offered me a beer. I was going to have a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
They gave me a beer, and that's all I remember.
That's all you needed. Yeah.
Next thing I knew, I was in Grant Park killing communists.
Okay.
And my sister
had... what's the other slip?
Yeah, the other slip was I was in Cincinnati.
At
the Reds game.
Because your dad loved the Reds.
My dad, yeah, we both loved the Reds.
Yeah.
Who got knocked, unfortunately... All the Chicago teams and my Reds got knocked out quicker than the Alamo. By the way, speaking of the Alamo,
yeah,
we were talking about the Alamo.
Yeah.
I brought my Alamo. I'm wearing my
Alamo.
Oh,
you got your Alamo shirt on
tonight.
Yeah,
because.
Yeah.
So I would like to do the speech.
Oh, yeah.
That I did. Frank will remember this. When I was in eighth grade, I think. I did.
Frankie Moran's in the
Frankie
house.
Frankie Moran's in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, he was a fireman, though. There's only two people who make money on their backs, whores and firemen. Frankie, I love Frankie, though.
All right, tell the story.
All right. We're in the speech contest at St. Philip Neri.
Ah. And how old were you, like sixth grade or something?
I was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so I thought, well, you know, the Alamo is a great speech, so I'll do it. So Duke is Davy Crockett, and these Mexican girls says, you know, what's going to happen to us? They were going along, and Duke said, I'm going to tell you something, Flocken, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere. When I come down here to Texas, I was looking for something. I didn't know what. Seems like you add up my life, and I... spend it all either stomping other men or, in some cases, getting stomped. Had me some money and had me some medals. None of it seemed a lifetime worth the pain of the mother that bore me. It was like I was empty. Well, I'm not empty anymore. That's what's important. To feel useful in this old world. To hit a lick against what's wrong or to say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I might sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. And you got to do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. Do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat. So.
Bravo.
I got a little choked up there.
You should.
Yeah.
That was dynamite.
And from memory. Well, my wife said, how can you watch the Alamo again? And it's a 3-hour movie. I mean, it's, you know how it's going to end. Not well. It doesn't end well. Amy Madigan was in that speech contest.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was in the Alamo.
Yeah, she was in.
Did the Alamo win?
Oh, yeah.
All right, forget
yeah.
about him. Okay. You're talking to the
okay,
audience.
Now I brought some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Mementos.
Yeah. My wife, Jean, brought me this hat.
Yeah.
And we're going green tonight, so I thought I'd, you know, since Jean bought me this hat.
Sure.
And it's green.
Yeah, and that's
and
your
And we're in an
shirt.
Irish bar, so I figured. So I wore the hat. Wanted that's to get cool. my wife's name in because she said I didn't mention her last
okay,
time.
Okay. What's her name?
Jean.
Jean.
So Jean.
Shout out to Jean.
Jean has been with me for 12 years.
Jean Lynch.
Jean Lynch. Polish girl.
Oh.
Nice, though.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Polish. She's still got her communion money.
And what else did you bring?
I brought some stuff. Okay, yeah, okay, Frank, you'll like this. My great-grandfather.
Oh, wait. Your dad was a cop.
My dad was a cop.
Let's set that up.
Well, yeah. my grandmother, maiden name was McKernan.
Okay.
I guess the Irish just marry each other, right?
Well,
so anyway,
that's true.
This was her. This was my grandmother's father.
Wow.
He came over in 1892, around 1892. Went on the fire department in 1900.
Turn that around so I can see it.
And
yeah, that's beautiful.
He was a captain.
That's cool.
And he made captain at the
It's a captain's
yeah, he was a captain.
Helmet.
Yeah, and he made captain at the Iroquois Theater fire.
Oh, that's right.
In 1903.
And that's when, like, several, they were trapped in the theater,
yeah,
right?
You know why? That's the fire that changed the regulations, right, Frank? Because they opened,
the panic bar.
They opened in before.
Yeah.
So But he was actually to save some kids, because it was mostly kids that died in the fire. Yeah, so great grandfather. I've been offered a lot of money for that helmet.
Right, give me that. I'll hold on to it.
Sure.
Okay.
So now, we all grew up in South Shore.
Not all of us. I was from Beverly. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Go ahead.
That's okay. That's okay. That's Thank close. You. Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, and we spent a lot of time in Beverly, right, Frank? At the Beverly Theater.
The Beverly Theater.
I remember seeing King of Kings there with Tom and Bert
and Yul Brynner.
And you've run it. And George Albies. You know, George passed away. Yeah, God rest his soul. We're getting older. All our friends are
Tell me about it.
We're going.
We'd like to get to the Obits tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, my dad.
Get the class picture.
Yeah. My dad graduated from.
What was your dad's name?
Frank.
Frank Lynch.
Frank. Okay. But everybody, a lot of people called him Joe because that was his middle name.
Okay. Francis Joseph Lynch.
And that's my middle name, Francis.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people called him Frank. I called him Chief because he was a chief in the Navy in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if
so
I
you
told
didn't
that.
You call him Dad. You called your dad Chief.
I called
chief.
Him Chief. Well, chief. No, when I was younger, I called him
Oh,
dad,
sure. Yeah, okay.
Because I wanted money. see, I grew up it was my sister and I.
Okay.
And she's, God bless her, she passed away 2 years ago at 70.
Mm.
Damn cancer.
Oh, wow.
Her.
Yeah.
And anyway,
God rest your soul.
I had this, I didn't take school very seriously.
Joined
the
club. Yeah.
And she was an A student.
Your sister.
And
what's her sister's name?
Therese.
Therese?
Named after St. Therese.
Oh,
I
sure.
I imagine. So anyway.
Therese Day was just a couple of weeks ago.
So I got this, when I was in grammar school, I got this, why can't you be like your sister?
Oh, sure.
Because
she's an A student.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
You know, you know.
She
you
doesn't
know.
Get in trouble.
I don't know how I got through. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember ever doing any homework. My sister was always doing homework. I mean, she'd be up till 1 a.m. doing homework. I said, what are you doing? let's watch Shaq Theater. Remember Shaq Theater, Frank?
Of course.
My
Forget that he's here.
Okay, all right.
He's
now,
over here. Pretend he's over
okay,
here.
Okay, now listen.
Okay.
Shaq Theater was on every Saturday at midnight.
It. Yeah.
And
I can't remember who the host was.
My parents wouldn't let me watch it.
Yeah, it was scary.
So my
movie.
Sister and I would take turns staying at my grandmother's, who lived at 70th and Chappelle.
Yeah.
She would let us stay up to watch it.
Yeah, she didn't know what it was.
But we had to watch Lawrence Welk first. So if you could
Saturday
stay awake.
Night.
Yeah. yeah. Lawrence, never missed Lawrence Welk.
My folks
And Lawrence Welk was on at 8, and Shaq Theater came on at 12.
Yeah, so that's 4 hours.
So yeah. And, you know, by the way, she lived on the same block that Johnny Torrio, the gangster, lived on.
Who did, your grandma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, they tried to kill him in front of his apartment.
Oh, wow.
Building there. Yeah, I remember her telling me that.
So you got your dad's class picture.
Yeah, if you want to see that.
What What school is that? Oh, that's St. Philip Neri.
He died in...
What year is that?
1933. Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah.
How about everybody in that picture is dead now?
Well, I would imagine they are. My dad said a lot of them got killed in World War II.
Oh, sure they did.
Yeah, World War II wiped out a lot of them.
Yeah.
He said. And he went to Ignatius then.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
And
he said, was a smart guy.
He was a smart guy. I don't know what happened to me, but... But he was a great guy, my dad.
A chief.
He was a chief.
God rest his soul.
I called him chief. He got to Pearl Harbor on Christmas Day.
What else? Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
He was already in the service?
Yeah. Okay. He enlisted on the 8th of December, right after Pearl Harbor.
Oh, right after Pearl Harbor.
And he had 2 years of college, so they made him a chief.
Yeah.
And he got to Pearl Harbor on Christmas Day. Said there were still bodies in the water when he got there.
Oh, wow.
And they decided to leave the bodies in the Arizona because...
In the trip.
Because they were losing so many divers going down to get them. That they decided to just leave them there. And he said... But then he ended up on the Intrepid, the carrier.
Yeah.
Off Okinawa, they lost half their crew from kamikazes.
Oh, yeah.
So he went through a lot. He went through a lot. So,
and what about where did he meet your mom?
They met at when he got back from the service. By the way, my mom was in the service too. My mom was in the Navy too.
Oh, was she? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
She was in the Navy also. They didn't meet in the Navy, but he went back. He to business school, and that's where he met my mom.
Okay.
Yeah, she went.
He gave her the GI. That's where he gave her
the business. Then they gave me the business. But here is my graduation picture.
Okay. St. Philip Neri. What
Philip
year
Neri,
is this?
St. Philip Neri, 64.
Okay.
Now, we had four priests.
Wow.
I mean, who has four priests today?
Yeah, exactly.
You're lucky if you have a priest, one priest.
Yeah.
But we had four. Huh. Yeah.
I probably know some of the guys in that
picture. I'm sure you do. Denny Connell.
Denny Connell, of course.
A lot of these guys have passed on.
Yeah. Denny's still alive.
Denny's still alive. Yeah. Well, that alcohol preserves you.
It pickles you.
But I loved it. You know, my sister kept all my parents' stuff.
Did she really? God
bless
her.
And when my sister passed away, I got all the stuff.
And this happened, your sister just died 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
breast cancer.
I'm sorry.
Breast cancer got her.
Did she have a family?
No, she was gay, but she had a partner.
Okay. Oh, did she really?
And her partner passed away a year before she did.
Oh, wow.
Of pancreatic cancer. So, but they were, they were great.
Yeah.
My sister and I canceled each other out every election. I mean, we just.
Mean the voting.
It's hard to believe we grew up in the same house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, this is America. You can vote for
exactly
who you want.
So far you can.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to tell, I worked the wagon for 20 years.
Okay.
I worked the bum wagon in 12 when I first came on.
Yeah.
And Madison Street didn't look like it does today. Mm. You know, we had the Star Hotel.
Skid Row. Yeah.
Skid Row.
Yeah.
Right. The Star Hotel.
You know who was an old friend of mine was Father McDermott, the pastor of Skid Row.
Oh, my God.
Iggy McDermott, yeah.
Yeah.
Old pal of mine.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
Well, anyway, so I'm working the wagon with Leroy McNamara. God bless you, Leroy. I love you. He was the greatest guy. And we actually drank, too. So
on the job.
On the job, yeah. And we were on...
good old days.
We were on Midnights.
Okay.
And Midnights was a great time because...
And you guys are driving the wagon.
Driving the wagon. Yeah. And so there was a DOA in the project.
Dead on arrival.
Yeah, at 1440 was 14th Street.
Yeah.
On the 8th floor. So Leroy had a bad leg.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to carry this guy down 8 flights of stairs. So it was like 2 in the morning. So we threw him over the side.
Out the window.
Out the window. Yeah. And,
he was already dead.
He was already dead, yeah. So, but we didn't want to carry him down 8 floors. The elevators never worked, so he wouldn't have fit in the elevator anyway.
Yeah.
So we threw him over the side, and then we went down and picked him up and threw him in the...
Scraped him up.
So unfortunately, when we took him to the morgue, the morgue guy, he had all kinds of bruises and... So I guess he called the captain, and he said, this guy looks like a homicide victim. So Leroy was an old timer. He was an old timer from Ireland.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He had the brogue. I couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
And I worked with him for 5 years. I couldn't almost, but I didn't know if nothing what he was drinking, you know.
Yeah.
So we called in the captain's office. The greatest guy, McManus was
the captain. Yeah.
The captain. Yeah, they were all Irish then. The
yeah,
captain,
yeah,
all Irish. So he says, Leroy says, Duke, don't say anything.
Right.
I'll do the talking because I only had like 2 years on the job.
Yeah.
So the captain says, Leroy, did you guys have a DOA at 1440 14th Street tonight? Leroy says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Says, you didn't throw him over the balcony, did you? Somebody was looking out the window and saw us, and they thought he was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
He said, no, Leroy said, no. He was dead. He was already dead. So then about a week later, we were parked at Monroe and Loomis, and there was a nursing home there.
Yeah.
And it's about 6:45. We're finishing our last beer, and I hear this thump on the top of the truck.
On the top
and
of the
I
wagon.
Look, yeah. And I look, and there's this body falling by the window.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Somebody decided to commit suicide,
onto you
jumped
guys.
Out the window, and landed on the truck.
Oh, wow.
And fell to the side. And this was the days when you didn't get overtime pay.
Yeah.
Leroy's, I said, we're going to have to do something, you know, because the sun's coming up. People are going to see it. Leroy's, somebody will find her.
As a woman.
And just drove away. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those were the days. Now, one more wagon story.
Okay.
This is when the police used to pick up the dead bodies. I don't think they do it anymore.
Yeah.
So we in the Star Hotel.
Where was that?
It was on Madison Street.
Madison Street.
Yeah. That's where all the...
Oh, Skid Row.
The Skid Row. That's where they... Speck stayed.
Oh, yeah.
They caught his
really?
Wrist
when they... Yeah.
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 And so we had a guy...
Born to raise hell.
Born to raise hell. That doctor was cleaning off his arm.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
doctor was an Irish doctor, as I recall, at Cook County Hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway... We got a call, see about, well, it was a well-being call. I hated those calls.
Yeah.
See about the well-being, because you knew it wasn't going to end well.
Yeah.
So what happened was, you know, the rooms were, they had like chicken wire between the rooms.
Oh, yeah. Flop house.
It was like
flop house.
It was only like 50 cents a day to stay there. So,
yeah, yeah.
So, this guy put a stick of dynamite in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And lit it. Can you imagine?
Oh.
This guy is waiting for this thing to go off.
And then you guys had to go
and
pick up.
Yeah, we got
the
him.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was
probably blew his
what
head
a
off,
mess.
Right?
Yeah. And he flew into the guy's next door. The guy in the next room. He flew in there.
Through the chicken.
The blast line. Blew him into the next
wow.
room. So I have one more.
Okay.
I had the worst suicides downtown when I worked downtown.
Yeah.
In the wagon.
Yeah.
We had a guy on. He was on the Congress L.
Yeah.
And he stuck his head out to see if his stop was coming up.
Oh no! They had the windows in them. That,
yeah. And the steel girder.
Oh.
Knocked his head off.
Just took his head right off.
And he fell back into the car.
With no head.
With no head. Headless.
Oh.
And he was sitting next to like an 80-year-old woman, blood all over the place, and she had a heart attack and died.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So. We get there, and, you know, we had to go pick his head up.
Yeah, you guys, go find that head.
So we flipped a coin.
Oh, yeah.
To see who'd go down the track to get it. I lost. So.
You lost a coin flip.
I lost. So I'm walking down the track, and the sergeant says, Duke, watch out for the third rail.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even turn the electricity off.
Yeah.
So I go, which one is the third one?
Yeah.
Said spit, you'll see.
Oh,
so I spit.
Wow.
And I spit. So I got his head, and I grabbed him by the hair, and I picked him up, and I said, "Is that him?" And he said, "No, he was taller." That's a true story, though.
We gotta wrap up. This has been just so enjoyable.
I got to do this again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean.
Always
yeah.
great to have you on the show.
By the way, I just want to say one more thing.
Yes.
God bless South Shore.
Yeah.
The greatest.
The neighborhood.
I'm going to cry now.
The old neighborhood.
The greatest time to grow up.
Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah.
We slept with the windows open.
The kids
sometimes
run
we
out.
Slept
yeah.
outside.
Yeah.
My dad used to walk our dog at Jackson Park.
Yeah.
We lived at 7127 Merrill.
Yeah.
Everybody loved everybody. great time.
That was a good ad, 71st and Merrill.
I had to serve 615 Mass all the time because I lived I had 5 minutes from the church.
Yeah.
615 Mass, there'd be me, the priest, and a drunk guy in there. There was three of us there. But I lived so close that they I had to serve 615 Mass. So that's why I don't get up early anymore.
All right, Alamo. Thank you, pal.
Oh, I love you guys.
Love you, buddy. You know? All right, that's the amazing James Duke Alamo Lynch. Let's give me a hand.
Remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna in all the papers.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio and be right back after these messages from our friends. Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table. Enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
And we're back. Hey, thanks to Alamo Lynch. James Duke Alamo Lynch, fascinating guy. So glad we got him back on the show, and he'll be back probably in a couple of months. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look at the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hearts or any of those great saloons like the Cork and Carry, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Well, as we mentioned before, John Healy's mom, Patricia Ann Healy, age 82, beloved wife of the late Joseph Healy, a retired captain, Chicago Police Department, loving mother to Joseph, Bud, Kathleen, James, John, and William. God rest her lovely soul, Patricia Ellen Healy. And we'll get John back on the show in a couple of weeks. Also want to give a shout out to, his obit hasn't been posted yet, but my old friend Robert Buff Vernon, he passed away this week, an old friend, and his son was grew up with my kids and his wife Christine, and known him for years and years, and just the sweetest guy. And his son Steve died about 11 years ago at a young age of 30. So they've had a tough time of it, that family, and God rest his soul, Buff. I'm sure he's in heaven. Okay. Frederick J. Haw, 87, Army veteran, beloved husband of Carol, loving father of Fred the Fourth and Tom. Fred was a 50-year-plus member of the Operating Engineers, Local 150, our sponsor, a member of St. Barnabas Church for over 50 years, and served as an usher for over 20 years. He was also a lifelong Notre Dame fan. And he was one of the, there was 12 now, surviving grandchildren of Weeping Jim Kearns, the father of the Chicago Flag. We're doing a film on his life, so God rest his soul, Freddie Haw. John Hawk, age 86, native of County Clare, Ireland, beloved husband of the late Mary Margaret Hawk, brother of Patrick, sister Teresa Hawk, the late Mary Colley, Christopher Howe, Anna, Bridget Hawk, many dear cousin and friend of many throughout Chicago and County Clare in Ireland, former parishioner of St. Jude the Apostle Church, retired from Teamsters Local 710 with 30 and a half years of service at Roadway Trucking and previously at Hilo Foods as a union member. John took great pride in his Irish heritage, participating in Cayley dancing at Gaelic Park. God rest his soul, John Hawk. Kathleen T. Kelly, beloved daughter of the late Coleman from Lettermullen, Galway, and the late Mary from Carna, Galway, loving sister of Thomas, Mary Ellen, and the late James. God rest her soul, Kathleen T. Kelly. Patricia M. Patty Keating passed away on Monday. She was a devout Catholic and a lifelong proud supporter of the Democratic Party. Patty was an avid traveler with a passport that resembled a well-used travel guide. She particularly cherished her visits to Ireland. She was preceded in death by her sisters, Mary Murray and Frances Hyler, her husband, William V. Keating, and her daughter, Susan, and son, Billy Keating. 95 years. God rest her soul, Patty Keating. Betty O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Ann Betty O'Sullivan, from Dublin, Ireland, was raised in Dublin and married James O'Sullivan of Belfast in 1953. The couple immigrated to Chicago a few days after Christmas in 1959. Betty was a devoted wife to Jim and their family and a longtime member of Immaculate Conception Parish in Highland Park. She worked for many years at Highland Park Hospital, also spent her free time and many retirement years volunteering for Immaculate Conception and visiting the homebound. She was a proud member of St. Francis de Sales Association, a spiritual family made up of lay Catholics who choose to live their lives by the gospel and according to St. Francis's teachings. She's survived by her son Kieran O'Sullivan, wife Mary and their children, and her son Cormac O'Sullivan, his wife Kristen and their children. Preceding Betty and her death were her husband Jim, her daughter Monica, and her sisters Mona and Brady. God rest her soul, Betty O'Sullivan. Anthony D. Flood, age 62, a native of Clonmelon, County Westmeath, vice president of operations at Pactiv Food Service, an avid cycling sports fan, traveler, and family man. He was a loving father of Sinead and Kevin Flood. God rest his soul, Anthony D. Flood, only 62. And finally, James R. Riley, age 78, retired detective, Chicago Police Department, beloved husband of Pamela for 48 years, loving father of Matthew, John, Chicago Fire Department, and Andrew, Chicago Police Department, and many grandchildren. He served honorably for over 38 years with the Chicago Police Department with Area 1 detectives, earning many department commendations and honorable mentions. Jim was an alumnus of Little Flower and St. Rita High School, longtime Beverly resident, member of St. Jude League, the Fraternal Order Police Lodge 7, and St. Michael the Archangel, Knights of Columbus Police Council, 12173. God rest his soul, James R. Riley, 78. And that's it. We're closing up the crypt, Billy. And we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with some music from our old pal, Jimmy the Cloonster Cloonin. And he's got Liam Durkin playing with him tonight. So stick around.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer. Call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western.
Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
And we are back. What a show, what a show, what a show tonight on Hibernian Radio. Well, of course, we have the one and only Cloonster, Jimmy Cloonan, with us, but we also have a special guest. Our old pal Liam Durkin was with us, and it was just a year ago, or just about a year ago, that we went to Ireland. And in the audience tonight is his dad, Mick Durkin, his Uncle Tim, is it Uncle Tim? Yeah, and Grandma Kay Durkin. She's here having a highball. Thanks for coming over, Grandma. She went to Ireland with us as well. So we got the Liam Durkin fan club here, and I'm a member. So we're so glad to have Liam back and here with Jimmy and to put these guys together, these great musicians. So give it a listen and tell your friends about the show. Thanks, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Last night I lay dreaming, pleasant days gone by. Me mind been bent on rambling, to Ireland I did fly. I stepped on board a vision, and I followed it with the will. At next I came to anchor at cross of Spancel Hill. It's been on the 23rd of June, the day before the fair, when Ireland's sons and daughters and friends assemble there. The young, the old, the brave and the bold came their duty to fulfill. The parish church in Cluny, a mile from Spancel Hill. I went to see my neighbors, to hear what they might say. The old ones were all dead and gone, the young ones turning gray. For I met with Taylor Quigley, bald as ever still, for he used to make me bridges. I live in Spancel Hill. I paid a flying visit to me first and only love. She's as white as any lily, as gentle as a dove. She threw her arms around me, said, Johnny, I love you still. Oh, she's Nell, the farmer's daughter, the pride of Spancel Hill. Well, I dreamt I held and kissed her as in the days of yore. She said, Johnny, you're only joking, as many the times before. For the cock he crew in the morning, he crew both loud and shrill. I awoke in California, a mile from Spancel Hill. Lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling, Michael, they've taken you away, for you stole Trevelyan's corn, so the young might see the morn. A prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Well, all I the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we dreamed the songs to sing. So lonely round the field of Athenry. By lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Well, nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and crown, I rebel, you cut me down. Now you must raise your child with dignity. So long lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our dream songs to sing, so lonely in the fields of Athenry. Let's hear that a little bit. She watched the last star falling as the prison ship sailed out again against the sky. For she lived, she hoped and prayed for love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the fields, left and right. So lonely the fields, left and right, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we dreamed songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. We were born before the wind. We were all so young, then a son. Where the bonny boat was won, we sailed to the misty. Hark now, hear the sailor cry. Smell the sea and you feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the misty. Oh, when the foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. Oh, when the fog won't look, I want to hear it. Don't want to fear it, you know. I want to rock your gypsy soul, just like way back days of yore. And together we may flow into the misty. Oh, when the fog won't blow, you know I will be coming home. Oh, when the fog horn blows, I want to hear it. Don't want to fear it, you know. I want to rock your gypsy soul, just like way back days of yore. And together we will flow into the misty.
Call it then. Let Billy close his shit down so he can go home.